This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, welcome back, everybody, at TFMR. Okay, we've come to the end. It's now Thursday, June the 4th, and this is your final conversation of the week. This is your, actually, it is Thursday, so it's a Thursday conversation. Hopefully, you've enjoyed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and God willing, I shall return with a full day in the barrel tomorrow. In the meantime, we've got this one final podcast for you to enjoy. Many of you noticed last weekend, which was a three-day market holiday weekend, Memorial Day here in the U.S., that we did not have a visit with the golden jackass himself, Jim Willie. The reason for that is we're going to visit with him today. And kind of keeping with the theme of the Thursday conversation, we're going to try to stay focused on just one point and pick the great jackass brain over that point. But for now, let's just stop. Let me introduce my old friend, Jim Willie, the golden jackass himself. Jim, my friend, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure being on. Our topic is going to be the Fed, I take it.
Yes, it is. And we're going to pick at something that was brought up all the way back on Monday. And hopefully that'll encourage people, if they miss Monday, to go back and listen. They should listen to every single day. They were all great conversations. Before we get started, of course, we've known Jim for years. Invaluable service, invaluable effort that he puts forth for his subscribers at golden-jackass.com. Of course, you can go there, sign up for the hat trick letter, his other subscription reports. At a time like this, you keep hearing me say this with almost everybody we bring on, you cannot have enough objective information. What the mainstream media feeds you, the bank sycophants, everybody else, is garbage. Okay? You've got to be able to think for yourself. You need independent thinkers on your side, and Jim Willie's one of the best. My friend, as I said, let's dive right in. What we're going to pick at here is something, like I said, goes back to Monday when I was talking to Luke Groman. And one of the things that bothers me about this idea of a debt jubilee and a reset, because you read that all over the, there's going to be a jubilee, you know, and there's going to be a reset and all this kind of stuff. Okay, sure. The problem is we have a debt-based monetary system. And for every debtor, there's a creditor who carries that debt as an asset. So where a jubilee or a reset or a write-down might be okay for the debtor, you know, yippee, hey, I don't owe this anymore. Well, it's tremendously deflationary and problematic for the creditor. Luke had some interesting thoughts on how that might work, but let's just start there. Jim, I know you think about this. What do you think might be ultimately the central bank plan as things continue to implode on itself due to this current COVID economic crisis?
Well, I think the Fed, I read this a couple months ago, right after the news came out that the Fed was going to be taken over by the Department of Treasury. And I've always thought Jerome Powell was kind of an errand boy, a lackey, kind of a small mind, a bag holder. He didn't even hold a candle to Ben Bernanke. I think even Geithner had more mental stature than Jerome Powell. What we've got immediately as my conclusion was, oh, we've got a bad bank set up. So it looks like they're going to load it down with toxic assets. And it looks like it's what's happening. We had news a few months ago that the Fed was taking in all kinds of hedge fund assets of impaired value and, get this, unknown ownership. So that's even worse than toxic assets. It's something where you know it's not worth much of anything, but you don't even know who owns it. So that's like, you know, random feces coming around the trail. The bad bank, in my opinion, is an initiative to shove a hot poker up the Rothschild's arse. And I don't know how you get around that. But let me point out something. I'm sure there's lots and lots of different angles to this, but there's something that I believe has been happening now for the last few months. Trump, through his little mouthpiece, Jerry Jerome Powell, has been buying up foreign bonds, foreign-held bonds in dollar denomination. It's treasuries held by foreign nations, but it's also, I think, significant corporate bonds that are owned by big foreign banks, you know, like the big European banks. I don't think he's favoring the Asians so much. What I'm seeing, Lord Hemke, is very simple. It's a call of dollar debt to bring it home, to retire it. Now, when that happened, let's just say you're Deutsche Bank and you've got $15 billion worth of treasuries. I'm just making it up. I don't even care how much they have.
Right.
They send it to the Fed, and the Fed gives them dollars. Now, in the past, when you'd say a foreign central bank or a big bank had dollars, you really implicitly meant they had treasury bills or treasury bonds to earn interest. Well, now there is no interest. So an exchange of a treasury bill or a treasury bond for cash is almost equivalent. I think the Fed is now trading debt paper for dollars, and I mean $100 bills and entries of cash on the balance sheet. Now, I don't even want to get into the money market problems that are coming or have begun. That's a different story. But I think the Fed is handing out dollars and basically saying to their former bondholder clients, you're on your own. And let me give you a wink and a nod that the dollar's going to go away in the future, and it's not the distant future. You're on your own. Meanwhile, the Rothschilds own the Fed, or had owned the Fed. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the balance sheet, the actual owners of the balance sheet. I think it's just going to all go to zero.
Look, I need to kind of just jump in. I want to add a couple of things that were also said earlier this week that are right in line with what you're talking about. If the Fed is doing that, they're calling in all of this dollar debt, in a sense, by putting it on their balance sheet. One of the things, and I asked both Luke Groman and Brent Johnson this, Paul Krugman, the esteemed Nobel laureate, who I know you think so highly of, Jim. Anyway, Paul Krugman had put out a tweet about, well, the debt is not a problem as long as you owe it to yourself. It doesn't make the nation more poor. Now, there are many layers to that, but one of the things that Brent added, he said, well, I guess if the central bank owns it and they retire it, then maybe there's technically some truth to that. And I'm kind of threading the needle of how all this perhaps fits together with what you're talking about. And again, the big bank, bad bank, I guess, model, people might recall or maybe need a refresher. That was the thing back after the last financial crisis, that they'd split a bank in two and stick all the shit on the balance sheet of what was going to be the bad bank that was going to be, you know, maybe worthless, and then move the assets that's worthwhile onto the good bank, and it continues going forward.
Well, I've got an image that comes to mind that I think would be useful to describe. Imagine you've got a 70-year-old rust bucket old ship, and it could have been a naval destroyer. It could have been, you know, a frigate. Could have been, you know, any kind of an old ship. Well, you load it up with junk, you put on lots of toxic barrels, you float it out 200 miles off the California coast, and you sink it. Well, in this case, it's going to have the USS Rothschild flag on it, and they're going to sink it. Now, who's going to suffer? Well, the residents, you know, like the fish life in that surrounding ambient territory. This is how it's going to work. I think it's going to just go to zero. They're going to say, well, we got all this toxic debt. We got all these, you know, collateralized loan obligations. We've got these swap trades from hedge funds that blew up, and we don't even know who owns what. We got a lot of assets on here, and, you know, it's compartment A, compartment B, compartment C. You can come down and take a look at it, but make sure you wear your hazmat suit.
Right.
And we're going to scuttle it 200, 300 miles offshore. This is what's going to happen. I'm convinced of it. And it's like the vengeance to be delivered to the Rothschilds. I'm convinced that the middle layer, the 80%, not the top 10%, not the bottom 10%, the middle 80% is largely gone for Team Rothschild. So who's there to defend? Almost nobody. They've got the elites, and they've got little errand boys, you know, the foot soldiers. And they don't have the middle-level captains and colonels and majors anymore. They're all gone. They flipped, they're stripped, or they're dead. There's nothing left to defend the Rothschild dynasty much anymore. And, you know, what we're dealing with here is the Rockefeller dynasty with the corona, which we're not going to discuss today.
So, Jim, what happens next, I guess? Because I think we can all, I mean, you step back and you see what they're doing, and they have all these programs, you know, QE, infinity on steroids kind of thing. You know, there's the massive expansion of all these central bank balance sheets, and they're buying debt and basically retiring in exchange for cash. So what happens next? What then do all these debtors, I guess, I guess they'd be the creditors. They're the holders of the debt, and they get dollars back. What's the promise to them? Luke had mentioned maybe then the global central banks mark up the gold that they hold on their books. And then what? Do you get the old Scheiss dollar like you always used to talk? The U.S. dollar and the international dollar? I mean, what's the next step in this?
It's a bit fuzzy, but I'd like to just run through some of the different categories, the
Go
asset groups. Okay, let's start at the bottom up. The corporate bonds, the term fallen angel is now going to become synonymous with corporate bond. They're all going to be fallen angels. There's going to be almost no bond out there, a corporate bond, that will avoid the fate of falling into junk status. Okay, so they're all going to be ruined. I'm not saying they're going to go to zero, but golly, they're going to have a march down. Now let's look at the treasury bond. That's the most interesting item right now outside the gold market. The treasury bond is going to have a challenge to avoid negative rates. I think Team Trump is going to want to pull off a magnificent fraud where foreign bondholders pay the U.S. government for the privilege of holding their fraudulent bond that's got an extra 20 trillion odd stolen money, missing money on it. So it's not just a $22-23 trillion debt that's going to go up by $5 trillion this year. It's also got the missing money that what's his face? I can't think of the guy's name from Michigan State.
Yeah, yeah. What is his name? Anyway, I know who you're talking about.
I have it on the wall, but now I have too many slips on my wall. Okay, so foreigners are going to be facing this third rail, the electric rail, and they're not going to want the negative rate because they're not going to want to pay the U.S. government for their fraud. It means that they're going to be ditching in a big, big way, and I think that's why Team Trump is trying to encourage them to bring one, bring all, we'll give you cash, and then you're on your own with cash. Anyone who walks away with, say, $10 billion in cash, they're going to have a major challenge. What do you do with it? You don't put it in the money market because that's going to be at risk by virtue of the fact that interest rates drop down to zero. That's a story in itself. They're not going to want to put it into, say, corporate bonds because they're in trouble. They're not going to want to put it into bank stocks because they're in trouble. So what are they going to do? I think this Jelly Gielstrom, he was a former 1980s board chairman of Basel, Bank for International Settlement. Jelly Gielstrom, he wrote the playbook. He wrote the package. He wrote the plan that the central banks accumulate gold. They do it quietly. And when the currency runs the end of its course, the central banks load up on the gold and they revalue it tenfold to achieve solvency. I agree that's coming. And I got tipped off about a year ago by Hugo Salinas Price to the effect that central banks around the world, not just the majors, they're 30 or 40 minor central banks. They're using second accounting books, and they're using hidden financial firms to do the acquisition, and they've been buying on the sly, and it added mm-hmm. to the shortage. Mm-hmm. I think that's been going on for a year.
Yes.
Okay, which brings us to gold, and I got it on good authority. Had a very interesting conversation about 2 weeks ago with a former European subsidiary national bank CEO. I'll give you an example just so you understand what I'm trying to describe. This is not the case, but this is an example. It's like the Society General German subsidiary CEO. Okay. He's in a country and he was the CEO of the national subsidiary bank for a different nation's national bank.
Okay.
And he was in that role for 5 years, and he had lots and lots of stories, and it's in my May hat trick letter report. But he said to me that there are some major events on the horizon, and they're really not too far off on the horizon, because the road that we're on is very close to turning over on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And what he said was the European Monetary Union is going to break up. The political union in Brussels will continue, but the monetary union is going to break north versus south. The pigs will revert to their currencies. You can just imagine that they'll devalue. But he said we're going to make a move to 2000 for gold. And he's noticing something. He could not describe them very accurately to me, but let me just get some rough concepts for you. If you're thinking about market internals for the stock market, it would be like 52-week high and low, option volatility, the VIX, and all these various things. Okay, but there are market internals for the gold market, and he wouldn't tell me what they were that he follows. He said they're all kind of abstruse, and let's not go there, but you can imagine that they're market internals. He told me, I call him Maxwell. Maxwell told me, there are lots of market internals, and they're all turning positive at the same time for the gold market. And furthermore, the COMEX blew up and defaulted back in February. And I said, wow. Who were the two U.S. London banks? Who were the two banks that backed out and had enormous losses? And he said, I don't know the second one, but the first one was Societe General. And SocGen had a $4.5 billion loss that the Euro Central Bank covered up with a patch job.
Huh.
And he said, you know why, don't you, Jim? I said, yeah, because it would have caused the failure of BNP Paribas, Credit Agricole in France, and probably four other big banks in Europe. And he said, yes, the contagion would have been horrible, and Societe General would have suffered an instantaneous death. So he said, there's a lot going on, and then I asked him a question, and he came back with this comment in agreement with me. We're going to get past 2000, and it's going to come soon. And I think it's going to be largely because of all the incredible monetary ruin that we're seeing, you know, printing money willy-nilly and the debts going out of sight. But he said the move from 2000 to 3000 is going to be fast.
Yeah. No, I can see that too. Just even getting above those old all-time highs will set off the fireworks show.
You know, the short covering.
Right. You mentioned that, Jim, because, I mean, again, we're recording this on Friday the 29th and posting it here. It's now Thursday the 4th. But the big news that I saw yesterday, you might have seen it too, was the Reuters article that mentioned all, they had all these sources saying that all these major banks are quitting the COMEX and looking for an alternative. And I think I've got a feel for what that's going to be. But that's certainly in line with all these losses. You mentioned that one bank, but we also had, which HSBC has posted a couple $100 million losses from those days in March. And Scotiabank and CIBC and all these other banks, I mean, all of the signs are there. The tremendous amount of delivery demands from the COMEX that are going to continue into June. I mean, Jim,
they're broken. They're already broken. It's not an event that we need to wait for and rejoice. It's an event that has already happened, and we need to celebrate its event having been completed. What we've not seen is the after effect.
Right.
It's like, well, we're waiting for this big stone, like a meteorite, to fall into the ocean. We're waiting for it. No. You're waiting now for the tsunami that happens afterwards, because it's already happened. We're going to get a tsunami, and it's going to hit the gold market. It's all going to be positive. It'll affect silver also. And you know, I encourage people to go to the Hat Trick Letter and to just check out. I made a whole chapter out about the armchair conversation with Maxwell. He had lots of things to talk about, and he was. Let me just say one thing regarding the Euro Central Bank. He said that he has a friend, and the friend works in Switzerland, and this friend is one of 100 people who attends a weekly meeting hosted by the Euro Central Bank about the transition and the move toward new monetary systems and the new gold standard. Whoa!
There you go.
It's happening. It's happening under our feet, but we're the last ones to know. And I try to, mm-hmm. Provide a bridge from somebody who's well-versed and has direct contacts with some of these people. There were a lot of things he talked about. One very interesting point that Maxwell brought up, he said the Fed very soon, Jim, is going to be backing the exchange-traded funds. The ETFs are a mess. And I said, you mean more than just gold and commodities? He said, no, all kinds of them. Stock-related, stock-backed ETFs, negative 2X bank ETFs, negative stock ETFs, positive stock ETFs, all of them. He said, and believe it or not, Lord Hemke, it was amazing. 2 days later, the Fed announced they were covering ETFs. Mm-hmm. So this guy had a lot of credibility with me, and it was verified in the following days. I'm jacked up. I'm very excited. But what I'm not happy about is the level of ignorance out there and the level of fear. Ignorance breeds fear. I'm not afraid of this virus. I'm not. I'm not afraid of it. I have knowledge. I know about the fraud and the data. I know about the censorship rules. Before I do an interview, I ask the host, what's taboo topic? And it's precisely the fraud in the medical data. It's precisely the corruption in the WHO. It's precisely labeling Fauci and Gates as genocide kings. You can't mention that or else you get your YouTube taken down.
Right.
So therefore, you know what the criminality is in detail. I'm scared of my fellow man and woman and their pathetic ignorance, like wearing cloth masks. Oh, that's really smart. I've taken upon myself, Greg. I have a quota. I want to insult three people per day for their cloth masks. I've already got one today with an insult. No, two. I called them ignorant. I call them imbeciles to their face.
Symbolic is really all those things are. I mean, and here at this site, we've known that since January. But, it is what it is.
Well, in the 1930s, they had a little something that a certain group of people had to wear on their chest and shoulders, a little patch. Okay, hey. So, we've got some precedent there. But it retains, a mask retains bacteria, and you're mm-hmm. breathing it all day long.
Yep.
So why don't you put your underwear and smell your rectal
pull
pore.
Pull it over your head.
Smell your rectal pore. It's not a lot different.
Especially my breath. If I've been drinking all night long, I can tell you that the next day. Hey, Jim, all right, so here's the deal. Again, we didn't do anything Memorial Day in preparation for this. However, it will be baseball, apple pie, and Jackass on the 4th of July, which is in about, I don't know, it's 5 weeks from now. We'll get back together for our usual, full Willy type podcast for the 3-day weekend. Let's wrap this, though, just quickly. Between now and then, I mean, you've just added to the dots that are on the page for anybody willing to kind of start connecting them and seeing the big picture of what's apparently now, just right there taking place. If you bother to really, if you're learned enough and you take the time to study it, what will you be watching over the next 5 weeks? Anything specific? What will you expect to happen? What do you think we'll be talking about first and foremost in 5 weeks?
A big bank going down and they're having trouble preventing it from happening and causing a contagion.
Yeah.
I don't know who the bank will be. I suspect it will not be in the United States because they're just too full of funds. The other thing that I'm going to expect is an accident in the gold market. This Maxwell told me that there is a line of lawsuits against the COMEX. Mm-hmm. I asked him what broke it, and he said the exchange for physical broke it wide open.
Yep. That's exactly right. It's exactly right. You talk about him gaining credibility. Yeah, that's 100% correct.
Okay. So what should we expect? Okay. I think we're going to see a battle royal to destroy the stock and bond market values by the Satanists. They want things to go to zero. The Patriots are going to want to rescue it with funny money, to be sure. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a battle. To the good guys are going to want to lift the stock and bond market and keep the values, so that the nation's individual wealth stored will not be destroyed. Another thing that Maxwell told me is that he has it on good authority that there is an effort that's going to be taking place and is in progress to retain the values, to go from old system to new system. He said there will surely be a little haircut in there. He said, I don't think it's going to be giant, like 40 or 50 or 60%. I said, you think it might be like 15 to 20? And he said, well, yeah, 15, 25 right in there, maybe 25, 30. I don't know, Jim. And I said, well, what's going to be the legitimate source of wealth to enable the passage and transition? Is it going to be the prosperity funds? And he said, call it what you wish, but yep, it's there and it's ready.
Okay.
Whoa.
Again.
So, now, I've heard that the $100 trillion prosperity fund, okay, fine. Some have bandied that about. If you just take a look, I'll put a value on the White Dragon's 110,000 tons of gold. It's roughly $7 trillion. So the prosperity funds is a lot bigger, 13 times bigger than 110,000 tons. 110,000 tons. Okay, so this transition is going to be difficult. And I'm not convinced the good guys are going to win. I think we're going to have a Pyrrhic victory where we win, but it's going to be a lot of dead and wounded on the field, including people you know.
Well, my friend, thank you. This has been tremendous. And to wrap up this series of four interviews, I mean, they're all public. Anybody listening to this, you want to send all four of these to your friends? Knock yourself out. I think they've been extraordinarily valuable and given me a chance to get away. Jim, we'll talk again in 5 weeks. In the meantime, again, I can't emphasize strongly enough, you should go to golden-jackass.com. Sounds like this most recent hat trick letter with this information from Maxwell is almost just a must read for everybody. Jim, that's right.
I can't tell you, Craig, how jacked up in a positive way I was the entire day and the next day after talking to him. It's worth reading. It's a 5 or 6 page chapter in the May report. It is so chock full of encouraging things. But, you know, just think of the Pyrrhic victory. We're going to know some damage. We're going to see some damage.
Yeah, that's for sure. Golden-jackass.com, my good friend, Jim Willie. Jim, thank you so much for your time. I look forward to talking to you again in 5 weeks.
Very good. I hope there is baseball. You mentioned baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Hot dogs and apple pie. Yeah, I'm waiting for the baseball. The German Soccer League opened up. We'll see what else happens.
That's right. We'll see. All right. Thank you, Jim. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, we'll be back to business as usual, God willing, with a full post in the morning and podcast and chart and cot review tomorrow afternoon on Friday. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great rest of your day.